small plates designed for sharing but is sure to satisfy your appetite. They offer something for everyone. Located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find out more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Voice of Minnesota, Doug Padgett in Drive Time, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, coming from Minneapolis, and a heavy day here in the city of Minneapolis for a lot of us. The decision to not charge the police officers in the shooting of Thurman Blevins is something that has aggravated a number of people, and rightly so, and I am pleased to be able to talk with Nakima Levy-Pounds, who is an activist and somebody who's working quite hard in her role in the city of Minneapolis and around the country in engaging in issues like this. Nakima Levy-Pounds, thanks so much for being on today, and thanks for all your good work today.
Thanks for having me. And let me just add that I'm also a civil rights attorney and a former law professor.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
In terms of my background and working on these really issues. Important.
Yeah. And I also note that you're an ordained reverend, and so am I. So we've got that in common.
Wonderful.
And all of that comes together in this important work that you're doing today. And if people have been following you on Twitter, as I have throughout the course of the day, you were part of a press conference that Mike Freeman held today. And we're part of the work in trying to make sure that the comments that Mike Freeman was giving about not charging these officers in the shooting of Thurman Blevins was not done in isolation. Is that a good way to say it, that you wanted to be sure that other voices were being heard?
Well, number one, it's very unusual for the Hennepin County attorney to hold a press conference when the BCA's investigation is not even complete. And making his decision that he's not going to charge the officers. None of us were surprised by his decision, but I was surprised that he used this moment to further his own political career, a moment that is very tragic in our community, a moment that is playing out like a broken record in our community, in a time in which we need definitive leadership and compassion. We're not seeing that from our elected officials, including Mike Freeman. And so we showed up at the press conference. We challenged his narrative, just as we did when he held the press conference regarding his decision to not charge the officers who killed Jamar Clark. And we opened the door for the voices of Thurman Blevins' family members and other community members to be heard, particularly some of the African-American men in our community who are the hardest hit when it comes to police violence and misconduct and abuse.
Yeah, and it's you're making to my view, such an important distinction and argument. I'd love for you to say a little bit more about this. Some people I know feel they felt like a quick response from the Hennepin County attorney about a decision to charge or not charge was a positive turn of events, that it showed a sense of earnest hard work to get to the bottom of this. But you're bringing up the fact that it also feels as if it was a rush to judgment that was serving some other purpose. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, the people who are saying that a quick response is a just response aren't looking at the truth from my perspective. And part of it has to do with the Hennepin County attorney's record of failing to hold police officers accountable when they abuse civilians and when they shoot civilians. During his entire tenure as the Hennepin County attorney, two stints, he has only charged one officer for killing a civilian, and that was Muhammad Noor, who is a black Somali Muslim man who killed a white woman, Justine Damon. Now, the majority of the officers who have killed civilians have been white male officers, and not a single one of them has been charged by the Hennepin County attorney or in any other county throughout the state of Minnesota. As a matter of fact, the only other officer who has been charged with killing a civilian was Geronimo Yanez, who is a Latino man who had been charged with shooting and killing Philando Castile, and he was not held accountable. So people need to wake up and not participate in what becomes a ruse, a mockery of the justice system, when we know that these issues are systemic, when we know that there is a familiar pattern that is going to follow these issues, when we know that the laws and the policies have not changed in these types of cases. So we do not feel protected. And simply because a jurisdiction gets the BCA, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, to investigate a matter does not mean that justice is being served. The BCA has zero credibility when it comes to holding police officers accountable. These are cops investigating cops, and they find reasons to justify officers shooting civilians in these situations. And so we need to be honest about the way that our justice system functions, the fact that very rarely do we actually see justice when it comes to civilians who are murdered by police. And we need to recognize that there is still so much more work to be done. And none of these issues are happening in a vacuum, and lives are being stolen as a result of police violence against citizens.
Well, one of the really important narratives that I think shows that it's not happening in a vacuum, I heard in the from the people who were at the press conference today, and I also heard it during the street protest the day after Thurman Blevins was shot by the police. I was there on the street and hearing people say at that time, especially as you brought up, black men say, we're tired of this happening. It feels like a yearly ritual that white police officers shoot a black man, and then we go through this whole process again, and we want that to stop. Some of the protesters were making that statement today. That feels like it's an important part of people understanding what happened, that to many, this is seen in a much larger context than simply the video footage and the report that was issued by Hennepin County Attorney Friedman. Can you say a little bit more about that context and how for people in many communities, they see and experience this in so much of a different way, in a way that has such a negative impact on their life on an ongoing basis?
Right. It's a familiar story that keeps playing out again and again, where the community is re-traumatized, where people go through this process. It doesn't matter whether there is video evidence or there isn't. It doesn't matter if a black man has a gun or he doesn't. At the end of the day, we know that the outcomes are going to be the same. And that is that the officers, the conduct of the officers will be upheld as heroic or justified, and the victim will be demonized and they will not receive justice, and neither will their families. This has been going on since the very beginning. The only difference is because of the Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement, which we know began in August of 2014 after Mike Brown was slain in Ferguson, Missouri by police officer Darren Wilson. It has shed more light and attention on an issue that has been going on since at least the days of slavery. And as many people may or may not know, police patrols began as slave patrols. That's the origin and the root of this system that we find to be so detrimental, particularly to communities of color and vulnerable residents. And the harms are being inflicted upon people who are vulnerable, people who lack political power, people whose voices are traditionally not heard in the media, people whose lives are seen as being dispensable and expendable. And so, again, we have to look at what is happening in these situations. Beyond that, we know that the Minneapolis Police Department has a very long tenure and a terrible reputation as being a corrupt police force. As a matter of fact, in the days leading up to the shooting death of Thurman Blevins, we were at City Hall demanding a third-party investigation of the ketamine drugging scandal. And that was a scandal in which Minneapolis police officers were urging paramedics and other emergency professionals to administer a powerful date rape drug to civilians, some of whom had mental health issues and other challenges. That was completely inappropriate, but it is consistent with some of the overarching issues with the Minneapolis Police Department, a lack of accountability, a lack of transparency, and a lack of justice for victims.
And Nakima, if I could ask you, it seems like there's a pushback on toward the, in this case, Hennepin County Attorney Freeman. And at the protest on the night after Thurman Blevins was shot and killed, toward Mayor Fry. And what I'm bringing up is, in both of those situations, when protesters started to engage, Mike Freeman turned and left, and Mayor Fry turned and left the protest that I was at. I watched him walk away. And that those visuals feel like they're adding to the narrative and reinforcing a narrative that when citizens try to raise these issues in ways that are intended to be disruptive because the system is not working, so disruption is needed, that there's a retreat on behalf of the public officials. Do I have a sense of that being right? Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. I think in the first place, we have a sense that they're not really concerned about the issues that impact our community. On the night in which Thurman Blevins was killed, Mayor Jacob Fry was nowhere to be found. And there were people out there who were traumatized, who were seeking answers, who were watching witnesses be handcuffed, who were watching a lawyer for one of the witnesses be denied access to his client. All of these things were happening, and Mayor Fry was not present. I witnessed this firsthand. And so we called him out for not only not being present, but also issuing a statement that was a one-sided narrative, a police version of events, and one in which he didn't talk to any witnesses. He didn't come upon the scene. He didn't meet the people and hear from them what happened. So that was poor leadership on his part. And then the second day when the vigil happened, he showed up. He was engaging in conversation with the people around him for the majority of the time that he was there. And then when he began to receive criticism from people who were speaking, he quickly left the scene. Again, another show of poor leadership at a time in which we need a leader who is going to be empathetic to the community, who's going to stand in the face of adversity and demonstrate excellent, compassionate leadership. And that is not what we have seen so far. And it's unfortunate, the white male fragility that we are seeing in these types of situations. And they can run off and go back to their normal lives and their comfortable communities. But the people in North Minneapolis and in other parts of the city continue to suffer at the hands of an out-of-control Minneapolis Police Department. And these officers, who right now are suspended with pay, will be back on the force, back on the streets, patrolling the streets with a murderous spirit. And that is very dangerous. It's detrimental. It's scary. It makes people not want to call 911.
Right. You're hearing Nakima Levy-Armstrong. She is a civil rights attorney and engaged citizen here in Minneapolis. Nakima, can you hold on over the break? Because I'd love to talk to you about this a little bit more.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks so much. Hey, this is AM 950, the Progressive Voice in Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett. We'll be back after the break.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast, served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your Attorney General, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state?
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
The only thing better than being outdoors soaking up that summer sunshine is coming into a nice, cool, air-conditioned house afterwards. So if you're looking at updating or buying a new AC, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has some great systems at $700 off during July. There's even easy financing options available on approved credit. It's no sweat. Really, no sweat. Call today and ask how you can save $700 on your new air conditioner. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Some restrictions apply.
35, got a board of our own. Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett, talking with civil rights attorney Nakima Levy-Armstrong about the response to Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman announcing today that they're not going to bring charges against the two officers that were involved in the killing of Thurman Blevins. And Akeem, if I could just say, shooting him in the back, I saw the video that attorney Mike Freeman posted, the cam footage from the officers, and it's clear that they shot him in the back, that he was running from the police and they were in pursuit of him. I don't know how much you want to talk about the details of this particular incident because, like you've said, in some ways the details don't matter because it's the same script that gets applied to all of these. But in this situation, the officers get out of the car in an aggressive and violent mode immediately. And watching Thurman Blevins get up and run, I don't know all the motivations for him running, but he truly looked like a person who was scared of the police, mm-hmm. who had their guns. And it just is that narrative over and over that when certain people in our society interact with the police, it's not as an act, they don't see that as an act of protection. They see it as an act of threat and violence. And within 2 minutes, he's shot in the back and laying dead in an alley.
Mm-hmm. And what I said today at Mike Freeman's so-called press conference was that if I were Thurman Blevins, I would have run too.
Yes.
And many of the black men who I have spoken with have talked about the fact that they would have run too, or that they have run from the police in order to protect themselves and to get away from the police. So for many African Americans, it's not unusual to see a black man running from police, especially when they jump out of their car, as you said, in an aggressive manner. And, you know, when watching the body camera footage, a couple things struck me. Number one, the police did not have an accurate description of the clothing of the person that they were looking for, who supposedly had fired shots in the air. You know, the description that they received said that, you know, it was someone wearing a white or a gray tank top. Thurman Blevins had on a black tank top. So that was one. Number two, as the police are driving along, they have a very cavalier attitude, and they're yes. stopping random people and asking them, have you seen a black drunk guy with a gun? Which was completely unprofessional and inappropriate. And then when they came upon the scene, one of the first things that you hear the officer yell is, you've got a gun. Now,
yes.
we know that Minnesota is an open carry state. So why right. is the presence of a gun on a black man or in a black man's possession, something that requires a hyper-vigilant response on the part of law enforcement? If Thurman Blevins was a white man sitting on the curb or standing on the curb with the dog next to him, his girlfriend and their child, there is absolutely no way that the way that that scene played out would have happened to a white man in a situation like that. The police lost sight of the fact that this man was with his family. They did not care about that. They didn't see him as human. Right away, they moved to an aggressive stance. They didn't even try to have a conversation with him. They treated him as if he was guilty and deserving of execution, as opposed to innocent until proven guilty, which is one of the pillars of our democracy. And so,
yeah, it's clearly what I saw in that video. I mean, that expression that someone takes on the role of being both the judge and jury. Those officers clearly an executioner. They were pursuing, and you can hear him on the video saying, "Please don't chase me. Please stop." Like he is. I understand that the officer's argument is that they were concerned for their lives, but they were running into that situation, and he was fearful.
And
it was. I mean, and that's the kind of thing that happens in these situations that. It was totally contributed to by the police action. Now I don't know what the rules should be or the law should be or the engagement should be if a police officer approaches someone and they start running.
Right.
But in this situation that ends in the death of the person who's running away being shot in the back, it feels to me that in addition to the police system and I'm on your side of the perspective on this, that I feel like the police system in Minneapolis and in so many jurisdictions is a hostile force to many of us, and especially to Black communities. And so I'm not totally, I'm biased in my sense that I don't think people always feel safe by the police. But I feel like the law has to change. That is such a high bar in which an officer, if an officer feels a threat to his life in any way, regardless of what that officer is doing, that it's justifiable to take the life of a person that they're in pursuit of. It just feels like, in addition to the bias and the racism, that the very law that protects the officers has to change. But I'm not a civil rights attorney, and you are. So, is there any work being done to change this statute of what protects officers in shootings like this to make it in such a way that they have to be more cautious before firing and chasing someone down an alley and shooting them in the back?
Well, the deadly force statute in Minnesota has not been changed. It allows way too much discretion on the part of police to use deadly force. And I know that a few years back, Black Lives Matter was seeking legislators who would help to rewrite the deadly force statute in Minnesota, but could not receive ample support from any legislators who were courageous enough to fight that particular battle. And so we have all these DSO legislators who say that they care about these issues, who say that they care about equity, who have been markedly silent when it comes to challenging the police and challenging the deadly force statute. So that's one of the problems. The other thing that we see at work in these situations is the fact that officers frequently initiate negative encounters with individuals and communities of color. So, for example, if you think back to the shooting death of Philando Castile, he was riding in the car with his girlfriend and his girlfriend's small child, and Officer Yanez was the one that initiated that particular contact with Philando Castile, claiming that he had an equipment violation, a broken taillight. Now, he should have just left Philando Castile alone. How is a broken taillight worth everything that transpired after that, including the loss of life to Philando Castile and the trauma that was inflicted upon Diamond Reynolds and her young daughter?
So, Nakima, can you hold on for one more second? Okay, can you hold on for one more segment? We have to run radio commercials here on the radio. Is that anything you're able to do? Okay, can you hold on for one more segment? Because I'd love to ask you about what people are doing. Okay, thank you. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett, I'll be back here after the break.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
This summer, you have lots of choices when it comes to your carpet and air duct cleaning, so make it a smart one with Zero Res. Only Zero Res cleans with patent-empowered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. It's like remodeling, but without the price tag. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month, save $50 when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forward, it spells the same.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the fifth, mostly annual, Dionysus Awards.
From Get Out to Dunkirk, this past year's movies raised profound philosophical questions.
Like, why do people have such a strong tendency to denigrate the other?
And who moves history more, the great leader or the soldier at the front?
We'll talk to philosophers, film critics, and thoughtful moviegoers like you.
The Dionysus Awards, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With summertime here, my family is super excited about the road trips we'll be taking in our Toyota Sienna. We're going to be putting a lot of miles in, but a Sienna is the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for the five of us to stretch out and enjoy the ride, even with the dog and all of our gear tagging along. Safety and reliability are key, and Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most safe, most reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, as we start this new week, I've got a feeling that we may be at the beginning of the end for Benedict Donald. Or is it the end of the beginning? It seems to be caving in on him. What do you think? Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here. From 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 63. And Tuesday, sunny with a high near 83. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Nightingale. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing, but is sure to satisfy your appetite. They offer something for everyone. Located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, back with conversation with Nikema Levy. Armstrong or Pounds, Nikema? Can I get that straightened out? Because on your website, it says Armstrong is your last name, and but the URL says Pounds. Am I saying it right if I say either of those names?
Yes, either one is fine. So my official technical last name is Nikema Levy Pounds, but I'm changing my name to Nikema Levy Armstrong, which is my married name.
What's
so my husband's
name?
Last name is Armstrong.
Okay. Well, either way, Nikema, I appreciate all of your good work and all that you're doing and all this name changing.
Yeah, I couldn't change it during the campaign, but so that's what I'm working on now.
I see. So all kinds of reasons. Well, for those who are just tuning in, the good work that you're doing in so many areas of your life as an activist and as a civil rights attorney and as a representative of these causes, I'm wondering what the plan is for today. I watched the comments of the people from the community after Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman left the room. And they were saying, hey, we something more is going to happen. There's going to be some kind of a get together, some kind of a rally somewhere. Is that coming together? Is there something that's happening that you know of that people can be aware of and participate in if they want to support you and Thurman Blevins' family and other community members in this effort?
Yes. Yeah, so some of the family members and local activist groups have planned a rally that is taking place at the government center tomorrow. The official time right now is at 4:30, but they could be moving the time up. So I'm waiting to get clarity on that later this evening. So they should watch, you know, anyone who wants to participate should like the Justice for June page or Justice for Thurman Blevins page. Also Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for Jamar and Black Lives Matter Twin Cities will have updates. As far as tomorrow's rally is concerned, all are welcome to come and stand in solidarity with the Blevins family, as well as all victims of police violence in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota.
Well, and that's really important. Can you say a bit about that for people who haven't ever attended any kind of an event like this? I've been to a number of them, but I was very nervous the first few times I went. I'm a tall, white, middle-aged guy, and I thought maybe I'm the wrong presence to be there. Maybe my presence wouldn't be welcomed. I've only experienced the opposite of that and very gracious responses. But can you say a bit about what people can expect when they go and if they should even be thinking about going or bringing family members or kids with them or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if people feel moved as far as their hearts and their consciences are concerned, then they should definitely attend. Now, what happens at a particular rally really depends upon the leadership of who's in charge of that rally and what their plans are. But typically, we show up, there are speakers, there's chanting that goes on, and we talk about the injustices that have been occurring systemically and systematically surrounding police violence and misconduct and the lack of accountability and transparency. And so it's a place to stand up against injustice, to meet new people, and to show that you care about what's going on and that you refuse to sit on the sidelines as these tragic incidences happen.
Yeah. Well, it's awfully important work. Is there any news you have for what's happening on the legislative side, or do you know any changes that are happening in the mayor's office or any kind of legislation that's happening? Is there movement afoot to make people more safe in our societies, and especially those who feel so unsafe from the police force?
Well, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing happening on the legislative side. Although a couple years ago, the body camera bill was heard at the Minnesota legislature. And rather than that bill offering greater protections for residents in Minnesota, it actually offered greater protections for police officers. One example that came into play in this case of Thurman Blevins was the fact that police officers are allowed to review body camera footage before they give their statements to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, witnesses are not allowed to view that same body camera footage before they give their statements. And so that, to me, is not in support of police, even though they're supposed to be trained to remember details in a way that most civilians aren't. So in terms of the mayor's office, I know that he has worked on, you know, getting some trauma resources out to people. He reached out to me about that, and you know, I said, that's great that's necessary, but what we really want is for the police department to stop inflicting trauma upon our community. When someone is shot and killed by police, it's the most extreme example of a series of abuses that typically happen on a regular basis. So we have to be mindful of the fact that the violence you saw when the police jumped out of the car and pulled their guns, those types of things still happen on a regular basis, particularly in North Minneapolis, where people are arrested, pulled over, harassed. I get calls all the time from people alleging abusive behavior on the part of MPD. And again, that abuse takes many forms. So we want to see dramatic shifts in the culture of the Minneapolis Police Department. We want officers who have a history of abusive misconduct to be terminated from the department and not continue to collect a paycheck and a pension, knowing that they have abused their power and their authority.
Well, that's Nakema Levy Armstrong, and you can find her. Nakema, I do want people to know this, that at NakemaLevyPounds.com, your website, you make yourself available as a presenter and as a speaker for different engagements. And so if I hope people are finding you to be motivating and compelling, that they don't just have to follow you on Twitter, which they can, or listen to you on interviews, that if they're having an event, that you'd be interested in joining them for events and to be a speaker.
Yes, I do offer that service. I also have a consulting firm, Black Pro LLC. And we do consulting around racial equity work. But I ask that people only contact me if they're serious about learning about racial injustices and how to combat them and to have a workplace that's more inclusive of people from different racial and ethnic backgrounds. And we do our best, you know, to also create opportunities for other people in the community as well to come to our office to learn. We hold community events. We've held events talking about issues of police misconduct and brutality. I'm also the founder of the Racial Justice Network. People can find that group on Facebook. And we're working on education, criminal justice, and economic justice issues. And it's a volunteer-based organization.
Well, that's excellent. I know there's a lot of people who feel on days like today, they throw their hands up and say, well, what can you do? And I think you're showing, well, you can do not nothing, you can do something, and you're doing a lot of things, and they really matter. So I just want to express my appreciation to you, and if you would, my condolences and sadness and empathy for Thurman Blevins June's family and all the people that are experiencing this trauma along with the family. So thanks for your good work and for giving us so much time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Hey, AM 950 callers, I'd love to hear from any of you. I know you may have talked about this during the earlier show with Matt, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. This matters a lot to me. I've been involved in trying to stop gun violence in our country. I'm an anti-death penalty activist, and police engagement with our society is a really big deal. And it's a really painful, painful experience for an awful lot of people. It has been in the last 7 or 9 years that it has become clear to me how traumatized so many people are by the behavior of the police. I grew up like a lot of young boys. I grew up in Golden Valley thinking maybe I want to be a police officer someday. And then I had my own interactions with the police force and with people who've experienced the police differently. And all those dreams that that so many people held, that there would be a protect and serve contingent of our society that's out to help keep everyone safe, often doesn't feel like that. And this is not just a commentary. I'm not attacking police officers, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. If you see it differently, you can give a call, you know, here into the radio show, of course, at 952-946-6205. Or I'm also over on Facebook and on Twitter at Padgett. But it's not just an issue of being for the police or against the police. It's the very real experience that so many people in our country have, that their interaction with the police feels like something terrifying and scary for them, not something that feels like it is to serve and to protect. And beyond the conversation about if police are good people or not, I don't doubt the goodness of the people. I doubt that the system, though, that is designed and set up is serving the function that we want it to. If many of us ever saw any other product in our society or any other part of our organized governmental system that was causing distress and harm at the rate at which people who have to interact with the police feel it, we would want to do something about it. And there's something embedded in our society that keeps us from addressing this issue with the police in ways that we would with others. If we saw that school teachers or that doctors or dentists cause the kind of fear in people and in whole communities that many describe in their interaction with the police, we would want to do something about it. That's not to say that there aren't people who need the police in their lives and are very glad to see them and are helped by them. But it is to say that this experience that so many people have where their time with law enforcement has been shown to them and has been clearly made evident that their lives are at risk, or that their safety and that their freedom is at risk. So if you haven't yet been around people who have lived with the steady drumbeat of don't call the police, or if you see the police, make sure you don't do anything that draws attention to yourself, or if you have an engagement with the police, be sure that you are fully submissive because your life is on the line. If you've never thought about your life that way, it's a good reminder that many people do, and they have to, and that parents train their children, and they talk to their neighbors, and they talk to young boys and girls in their lives to say, this is, treat the police the way some of us would talk about treating some sort of a dangerous chemical. Use it very judiciously, be very cautious, and don't make any mistakes. And so if that hasn't been your experience with the police, just know that it is for an awful lot of people. And it's a big part of what this whole sub-narrative is. So this is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett. This is Drive Time. We'll be back here after the break, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 952-946-6205.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
Hi, everybody. Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th, in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
The AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in here. Drive time, 4 to 5 o'clock. Heavy conversation today that's taking place across the city of Minneapolis and the wider Twin Cities region. This conclusion by Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman to not bring charges against the two officers that shot Thurman Blevins, I think is worth the whole show today. It raises a lot of issues, and it does for me. And I'm extremely opinionated about this, and I'm interested to hear from others who see it. I don't know, however you see it, I'd love to hear it. So I'd love to hear from Tom in White Bear Lake. Hey Tom, appreciate you calling in today and sharing your thoughts. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got the same concern about making a police department work. And I work in mental health, worked on psychiatric units where mm-hmm. people lock psychiatric units where people are placed when they're considered a danger to themselves or others, and they're having all kinds of emotional inability to function correctly.
Wow.
And I would get fired if I dropped the F-bomb as often as these cops did. And it's just the language, the way they approach the whole thing. You know, put your hands
no,
up,
I understand.
You MF, or I'm going to shoot you. And the
so,
whole
so, Tom, is it safe for me to assume, Tom, is it safe for me to assume that you watched the video from the body cam footage? Is that what you're referring to? Yeah, I think it's good for listeners to know that the link to it is available in lots of places. I saw it on the Star Tribune, put it on my Facebook page. But what Tom is referring to is that there's audio and video, and immediately the officers jump out of their car. They call him the F word, which I can't say on this radio show because it violates some sort of, you know, appropriateness. And to your point, Tom, you can't use it in your work environment. I can't use it in mine. But here a police officer immediately uses the F word and says, "Get your hands up or I will shoot you." Immediately, that's the first thing out of his mouth. For a man sitting on a curb next to a woman with a stroller and a baby in it, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like that's what you're describing that you saw in the video as well.
Yeah, I mean the whole trying to de-escalate and trying to understand the relationship of one human being to another. If they don't want him to do anything, they think he's drunk. They think he may have a gun. Just escalating it to, okay, you want to shoot me? I'm going to shoot you first. And it's, that's telegraphed to Blevins in this situation. I personally think he was, drunk and shouldn't have been as drunk as he was, shouldn't have had a gun on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get drunk, and I don't carry guns with me either.
Right.
He became aware that oh man, I shouldn't. I got to get rid of this gun. I'm in trouble.
I mean, that's what I see.
He was
from the
just
video,
like, "Leave me alone, don't shoot me." I feel like he was just trying to ditch the gun, so he didn't get what he's going to get. You know, what he would have gotten was probably some time. But it was real unfortunate. But I just think the cops escalated thing to, unmanageable except for by firepower.
Yeah, it really felt, I don't presume to be able to speak for what a police officer has going through their minds, but I agree with you, Tom, and I would say it the same way. If that's exemplary police work, then we really need to redesign what we mean by exemplary police work, because if jumping out of a car, yelling to your partner, he has a gun, and to immediately go into a crowd. He's not even holding a gun out. There's nothing in the video that you can see from the body cam footage, if that's worth anything, that would say this person is putting anyone in jeopardy for that kind of response. And so, Tom, I appreciate your call a lot. Carol from Egan, you have some thoughts about this too. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a comment too. I believe one of these officers went through some kind of fear-based training, which to me sounds idiotic. But Salt Lake City had a problem with police shootings. And they made it mandatory for every single one of their officers to go through de-escalation training.
Yeah.
After their officers completed that, it was 18 months without one officer firing at a citizen.
Wow. So you're saying that after they went through this training, they saw a real decrease in like the training worked to a level that it cut down on police shootings.
It cut down tremendously. Think about a police department not having a police shooting for 18 months and what that, in today's world, what that would mean. And Salt Lake City is not a small city, and it's not
right.
Like there's no crime there because it's a Mormon city. Their ratio prior to every officer, and this was in 2016 or 17, so it hasn't been a long time ago that they went through this training, but they thought they were having too much shootings, and they put them through this de-escalation training. And to my way of thinking, that ought to be mandatory for every single man who puts on a badge or a woman.
Yeah, I appreciate your call so much. Thank you. That's great input. And, you know, folks, one of the things I talk about a lot in this show is the role of government and how we think about it and talk about it. And our police forces are one of our government entities. And it's important that, because our police forces are often one of the most in contact with the citizenry of our public service departments. And so there's a lot of interaction. And many of us, if you see a police car come up behind you when you're driving down the road, you'll get a little nervous, at least I do, about things I haven't even done, right? So, I mean, there's like this fear at the sort of base level. And that's not a healthy way to be thinking about our community and to be thinking about our police force and to be thinking about our government. It matters. So those of us who are progressive and see a role for government in our lives and want to see our government acting in ways that help human flourishing to happen, I think we're required to call upon our police forces to do this. And Nakima Levy Armstrong made this really great point that it has been in my brain for about 7 years, and I can't seem to shake it. And that is that the roots of American police forces was designed around catching slaves that had either escaped from Southern chattel slavery or were in the North and needed to be returned to the Southern states. That was the police force. And then it took on the role of protecting white landowners' land when slavery was abolished. So it has a root inside of a racist narrative in this country that we just have to think about and can't shake. If this is all new to you, there's a lot of good work that goes on to help you get it. But if you care about police incarceration and over-incarceration, it really begins on the street with the police and with our training of police officers. Please, I appreciate you sticking with us today. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett in a Drive Time, and we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk with you then.